Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing video job interviews, working from home in Hawaii, and Zoom Santas making bank.
What's funny about Zoom Santa's making bank is that that's a headline that, 10 months ago, nobody would have understood at all. But given the time we live in, man, I think people know where we're going to go with that.
Yeah. I actually think, Matt, we could plump you up. You could do a little Zoom Santa side hustle.
Oh, please.
And maybe you could save up enough money to buy the new Apple headphones they just released.
Did you see those? How much? They're over $500, right?
$550.
For some premium over-the-ear headphones. I'm actually sure that you're probably going to buy a pair of those here soon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's on my list.
So I did read about those, and I saw that, I mean, the noise cancellation, like, that's a big aspect of it, right? Like, that's a part of why they're so expensive. But there's other headphones out there that have noise canceling built into it.
Solid ones in the $50, $60, $70 range. Like, I'll admit, I have a pair of $80 headphones. I really like my headphones.
You can get sound canceling for that much. You got to spend like $200.
Yeah, no, mine are
for
not,
like the Bose or the Sonys, right?
Mine are not noise canceling because I don't care about that as
much. I don't either, because so I'm a big fan of in the ear headphones, right? The ones that literally you wedge them into your ear canal. That's how they stay. You know, that's how they hold on to your head. Like, it's via your ear canal. And guess what? They act as little earplugs. And then, you know, you got the ear canal sealed, and then you pipe in your podcast or your music, and you also only pay $30 for those. And you know, when you're likely to lose something like that, dude, I'm not about spending a ton of money on technology like this that I feel might be obsolete soon. You know,
yeah, like, I'm just surprised too, just to see the extent to which Apple's trying to push the price point here for headphones. It seems like, you know, the top tier headphones that do similar things to what their headphones do,
$200-$300.
Yeah, is they're in that $200-$300 price range. And so yeah, I would just be curious too. If any of our listeners are interested in buying these headphones, just shoot us an email and let us know why, because I am totally curious. Is there anybody out there who is willing to spend this much on headphones? And if so, why? So
the Apple fanboys and fangirls out there.
It must be. I mean, you know, there's people that love Apple, and I'm not a hater.
I love Apple.
Yeah, you love Apple.
But I'm not willing to spend that much on it. You know, like, that's the thing. We're not going to hate on somebody if this is their thing. We spend a good bit of money on craft beer. And so if these headphones are your craft beer, then all the power to you.
Yeah.
But
also, what sets these headphones apart? I have to know. Like, I have to know what the difference is.
They're made with stainless steel and like got the aluminum, you know. As I was reading about it, I was like, oh yeah, that's premium. You know? It's got like a bigger speaker. They automatically turn off when you take them off your head. Like, I'll tell you all the reasons why they're sweet. I'm just not willing to pay that much money for them.
Yeah.
But if somebody does buy them, I would actually maybe like to see a picture of them in the wild like that, you know, being used.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's get on to our Friday flight, Matt. Let's talk about the sampling of stories we found interesting this week and how those stories relate to our personal finances. And speaking of absurd things, there was an article in Business Insider that highlighted a young woman who said that she regretted opening up a 401k. And of course, the title had all the elements of a classic clickbait headline. Why this young woman in her 20s regrets opening up a 401k? Click here to find out.
All of my past regrets and mistakes have been validated.
Yeah, exactly. 401ks are the worst, apparently, according to this article. I decided to read it because, as a personal finance nerd, my due diligence.
Too good not to click.
I had to, right? So the reason that opening up a 401k didn't work out for this person, at least in her opinion, was that there was no company match. That was one of the reasons she gave. Also, she said that she wasn't contributing enough to make a difference. She was only contributing between $1,000 and $1,500 a year. She also mentions that she forgot about it for 5 years. So she just forgot that it existed and that she put money in it.
That's on her.
Right. There is that. And it's funny, actually, reading her reasoning for why a 401k was a bad idea for her, I was like, actually, none of those reasons that you gave are reasons to be upset with the idea that you opened up a 401k. You know, you and I, we're fans of just getting started, even if it's just a small amount, right? If you can't put a lot towards it, $1,000 a year is still something. It's still meaningful. And then forgetting about it for 5 years means you're not making any changes and that you're staying invested. And so I think actually from that standpoint too, her investing in a 401k wasn't a bad decision. I'm sure she's actually seen a decent run up even without the match. She saved a little bit in taxes. She put some money away for the future, and she's still invested. And so I was just kind of at a loss for why her opening up a 401k was such a bad idea. And it just reinforced the fact that I should not read clickbait articles.
It's all clickbait, man. I'm with you, dude. We think it's just a good idea to get the ball rolling, you know, in particular for folks who might overanalyze or, you know, like the analysis paralysis syndrome. If that's the kind of person you are, then don't overthink it. Get investing and you can figure things out as you go. We will say, I mean, do look out for crappier investment options within work-sponsored 401ks, right? Because if you have crappier options, you may not see as much growth, but you're also going to see probably terrible fees. And fees are something that are legitimately not good. Like, that can most definitely eat away at your retirement savings. So do keep a lookout for those. On the note of 401ks, man, 401k matches are actually back with many employers these days. Because of cost cutting that many businesses were having to do because of COVID, many suspended their 401k matches for a period of time this spring and summer. Based on stats from brokerages and record keeping companies, it looks like around half of companies that suspended a 401k match have reinstated it for their employees, which is awesome. This is great news for you because matching is a huge benefit for anyone who is traditionally employed in a 9-to-5 and trying to save more for the future.
Yeah. An employer match is free money, right? And so making it a priority to at minimum get that 401k match is something that everyone who's listening right now should be working towards. And if you haven't been able to do that in 2020 so far, look towards making that a reality in 2021. Find ways to cut in your budget so you can put a little bit more of your paycheck into your 401k plan to make sure you're taking advantage of that match. And Matt, the reason why so many of these employers are ramping up those retirement benefits again, bringing back the match, is due to the fact that companies are seeing that though COVID and the lockdowns have been really harmful for their business, for the economy in general, that our national economy has been able to rebound really quickly. The American economy has actually been pretty resilient overall. And compare that to the 2008-2009 financial crisis, when the low point for employer matching contributions was in 2010, according to the Wall Street Journal. Well, I think vaccines being on the horizon, like multiple effective vaccines coming online, people are starting to get vaccinated even now, is just positive news. And it has everyone looking on the bright side.
Yeah, that lends a certain amount of hope, and it's good to see employers taking care of their employees when they are able to, right? Let's talk about another story that you and I came across, man. You can get a free trip to Hawaii.
Oh yeah, I want to know about that.
This is another clickbait style article, but this is legit.
This one had a better payoff.
Yeah. So this nonprofit, Movers and Shakas, is a nonprofit that will pay for your airfare to Oahu if you are one of the 50 chosen in order to spend a month volunteering with nonprofits there on the island. They state that you will need to spend a few hours a week doing, you know, this volunteer work, which could leave a lot of time, though, for remote work or just kind of beach hangs and tourist stuff. They're trying to revitalize their tourism industry there to a certain extent. And other good news, too, Hawaii has, you know, one of the lowest COVID infection rates. So this is also not a bad spot to hang out right now for many reasons. So if you have the flexibility, you should totally give this a shot. And we'll have a link to where you can apply in our show notes.
Yeah, especially if
good
you
luck.
Live in a cold part of the country and you want to get warm. I mean, I would totally apply for this and give it a go because Hawaii is the best place to be in the winter months. It really is. So yeah. And if you're not able to snag a free trip, but you're maybe looking to book travel on your own right now, well, there's a higher likelihood that you're going to want to consider getting travel insurance. And there was an article that we saw this week specifically about how many travel insurance companies are now offering COVID coverage inside of travel policies that they're selling. Unfortunately, a lot of travelers learned this past spring and summer that the travel insurance policies that they might have had, they didn't cover.
They learned it the hard way.
Yeah, they did. They did. But these insurance companies have had to change because anybody who's getting travel insurance right now is asking that question. And another reason is that a lot more insurers are including COVID coverage because a lot of international destinations are requiring some type of COVID coverage insurance policy just for folks to be able to travel there. So if this is a situation that you're in, you're looking to book travel for a future date, but you're still unsure whether or not you're actually going to be able to travel because we're all unsure whether or not or when travel is going to resume any sort of normalcy, check out sites like SquareMouth, InsureMyTrip, and TravelInsurance.com to compare multiple quotes and get the best price from many different providers. If you look at all three of those aggregator websites, you're bound to find a great price on a solid policy, but you do want to make sure that it has that COVID protection in any policy that you're looking to buy right now.
Yeah, you were talking about some of the different countries that are requiring. I saw the Bahamas. They require that. Like, you have to have one of these policies in place before you can even visit. But, you know, if you are not going to a country that has separate insurance requirements, don't forget about your credit card. Some cards by companies like Amex and Chase offer some really great travel insurance benefits to where, you know, a separate policy may not be needed after all. Do be sure to read the fine print so you know what your specific card is offering. For instance, I saw that the Chase Sapphire Benefit Guide, they state that choosing to forgo travel isn't covered if you're trying to avoid COVID. But if you or a travel companion actually have the virus, then that is a covered circumstance.
So if you're just trying to avoid a hotspot, they're like, no dice, you can't file a claim. But exactly. If you're like, I actually have COVID, they're going to pay the claim.
And I can't travel. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They're going to cover your costs there. So I think that's amazing. So certainly keep that in mind as you're booking your travel too, to make sure that you are, yeah, putting those charges on that specific card that would offer those benefits. And Joel, have we talked about the one time that I purchased travel insurance before on the show?
I don't think so.
It was for, so me and Kate, it was our honeymoon, and it was before I knew anything about travel or saving money or anything like that.
You're supposed to go to Jamaica, right?
Yeah. So maybe, I mean, so you
told
know
me, but okay. I don't know if you've mentioned it on the
maybe
show.
Maybe we haven't talked about it on the show. But long story short, a hurricane hits Jamaica the day of our wedding. And so obviously the trip was canceled. But guess what? We had gotten talked into purchasing travel insurance. And so I'm not sure if maybe the resort would have allowed us to go there for free anyway, because, I mean, the whole island shut down. I'm not totally sure what the implications are there. But all I know is that we purchased travel insurance and that we got to go for free over Thanksgiving. And so, I don't know. I got lucky. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, travel insurance.
I did not do my research, but we're encouraging folks to do their research and don't count on your luck.
Yeah. I mean, travel insurance can provide a lot of peace of mind, but at the same time, a lot of financial relief in case something pops up.
Right.
Matt, let's talk about MBA choices. And this is not basketball. We're talking about MBAs, right?
M as in Mary.
Exactly. We saw that more of the top tier business schools out there, like Harvard and Columbia, are offering certificates and other online learning options that don't require being on campus. This is a trend that's kind of been happening slowly but surely in that postgraduate degree world, but it's been accelerated because of COVID. And what's great about it is the flexibility that it offers. Instead of putting your career on hold, moving to another city, maybe with kids in tow, the ability to take a course online and earn a certificate is so attractive for so many people, especially as we've gotten more used to doing everything virtually and everything on our computers. Plus, they're actually way more affordable, right? You can get a certificate program from Harvard Business School online for just $2,000.
Wow.
Yeah, that's versus $111,000 for a couple of semesters of the Harvard Business School MBA program.
There's a big disparity there, but
yeah,
in cost. But at the same time, it's worth mentioning that there's a big disparity in what you're receiving, yeah. Right? You know, like a lot of folks are still going to get their MBA from Harvard so that they can say, hey, I got my MBA at Harvard. There's a lot that you get just by being able to say that. But, you know, like if you are just mostly interested in the information and you want to focus on that continued education and a certificate will do it for you, then yeah, this might be a great option for some of those folks.
Yeah. And it could just be something great to put on your resume or talk to your boss about. Maybe they'll pay for that continuing education.
Ooh, even better.
And maybe it'll result in more pay for you by being that self-starter and going in a direction of getting some sort of online advanced degree.
Most definitely, man. All right, we've got several more stories that we want to get to after the break, including one about job interviews happening virtually, you know, remotely, as well as an update on the student loan forbearance that was set to end at the end of this year. We'll get to all of those right after this break.
All right, Matt, we're back for the break. We got a lot more to cover in this episode. But first up, one of the most interesting stories I saw this week, and it kind of surprised me a little bit. I don't know why. I feel like I should expect everything to be on Zoom now. But Zoom Santas, they're making some serious money. And CNN did an awesome long-form story. They interviewed a bunch of Santas who thought that their income was going to be tragically cut this holiday season.
Understandably so. Malls are closed, right?
That's
department
right.
Stores are closed. They're not going to have the giant display set up there at Macy's, wherever it is that you go.
I think I read that Macy's has had a Santa physically in person there for 160 years straight.
It's a tradition.
So
man.
Yeah, this is the first year in 160 years that there won't be one.
It's crazy.
And so all those Santas had to figure out what they were going to do this year to make money. And it actually turns out that many of them will actually be making more than they typically do in a Christmas season. A lot more more actually by hopping on Zoom calls with kiddos around the country. The pricing is kind of steep for parents who want their kids to have a one-on-one hang with Santa. Apparently, it's roughly $49 for 5 minutes or $69 for 10 minutes of time with Santa. That's at least from visitfromthecloses.com. So, yeah, that's why these Santas are making so much money. It costs you so much money just to hang with Santa, whereas I guess it was a whole lot cheaper to wait in that line and get your picture at the mall.
Dude, you do the math on that, you know, booked at that more expensive rate of only 5 minutes, that's $600 an hour. That's a pretty solid hourly rate. Granted, I know that they're not booking every single minute, and I'm sure there's other expenses involved.
Overhead costs, all that kind of stuff.
That sure does sound pretty good. And I will say, too, as a parent, $50 for 5 minutes to avoid the hassle of having to get everyone dressed, you know, and then loading everybody up in the car, going to the store, going to the mall, whatever, while you stand there in line, wasting, you know, basically your entire Saturday. Like, you put it in those kind of terms, in that perspective, and it kind of sounds like a deal, although, you know, going and get the picture with Santa, that's never been something that we've done personally.
Okay, frugal or cheap? Just to avoid this altogether, telling your kid Santa isn't real.
Well, Joel, for some families, that would be a complete lie because Santa does exist.
I know he's real.
But if that's what you're telling your kids, to avoid the cost and to avoid the hassle of additional gifts, then I'm going to say cheap, buddy.
Just grinchy, huh?
But no, for real, more power to these Santas for pivoting to Zoom in order to keep that Christmas spirit alive for so many kids. And ensuring, too, you know, that their own family is earning an income in a year in which there was a lot of doubt about that possibility. It's just another interesting anecdote about how some have been able to turn on a dime and stay afloat. And plus, too, man, like these Zoom, like their conversations, right? Like they're able to talk to the kids. Like a Zoom conversation is way better than, like, have you heard of Cameo? Have you seen Cameo?
No, I haven't.
So Cameo, it's like where you get celebrities or like movie stars, just whoever.
I think I've heard
like,
something about
it. You pay them money and they'll record a personal message for like a friend of yours, like for their birthday or something like that, right? Like a lot of celebrities are on there, like Lindsay Lohan, Snoop Dogg.
Hey man, your birthday's coming up. Maybe I'll get Flavor Flav to do something.
I would like that. but having an actual conversation with another person is way more fun and way more impactful than just like a recorded message, you know?
That's true. Maybe we should get on there and be like, save your money. I don't know. No one would want that.
We would be the cheapest. Some of those folks on there are like, I think like $500 for, I don't know, like a 5 minute message
We'd
or something like that.
$3.
We would be the absolute cheapest because I think we would have to be.
Yeah.
Like, who are these guys?
Matt, speaking about Zoom calls, everything obviously gravitating towards virtual, remote video, kind of video based stuff. And there was an interesting article in the New York Times about video interviews and how employers are changing the interviewing process right now. And since video interviews are basically the new standard, there are definitely some things that you can do to up your game on any sort of video interview, changing the background, the framing, the lighting. All those are things that you're going to want to take into consideration before you do your first interview via video. And I would also say practice with a friend and then kind of tell you what you need to change in order to be more effective on your computer talking to somebody else. But there are also other interesting changes that have made the interview process less personal these days. And that includes stuff like sending video clips of yourself with answers to specific questions. And that can be good, right? Because you can take your time and you can video yourself 100 times and send finally the perfect one to that potential employer. But that can also be frustrating. And the other thing that can be frustrating is online tests or essay style responses to questions that a potential employer has. The way interviews are conducted is just like changing in a major way right now.
Yeah, for a lot of folks who might value that more face-to-face interaction, right? Like human relationships. I could see this whole process maybe being a little off-putting for some of those job seekers, right? Like applying for work and then figuring out each company's system for interviewing can be daunting and stressful. But we want to encourage you to keep at it. Some of the new systems that are being implemented will be used for a long time to come. And so it's worth figuring these things out, right? It's worth figuring out how it is that you can look good on a video while you're at your home office. And so while you are learning these new interview skills, don't forget about the old school techniques of networking. Earlier, we were talking about the Harvard Business School online version and how much more affordable it is. But, you know, one of the things that we didn't touch on that leaves out is just the ability to network in person, making these relationships. That is so stinking valuable. These personal connections are, you know, they're still the number one way that people are able to find work. And so reaching out to former colleagues or people in your industry is huge. A message on LinkedIn goes a really long way. Or you can even ask for an introduction from a friend. You'll be surprised at how receptive people are to a kind note from someone they don't know. And then, of course, don't forget to say thank you. You know, like these personal touches like that are going to go a long way, especially in this disconnected environment.
All right. While we're talking about jobs, Matt, there was kind of another thing that caught my eye this week. It was an interesting study by the National Bureau of Economic Research about the potential for a ton of Americans to actually be earning quite a bit more than they are currently. It was kind of shocking, but also fantastic news to read.
Yeah.
As they quoted, they said as many as 30 million American workers without four-year college degrees have the skills to move into new jobs that pay on average 70% more than their current ones. So we're not just talking about going across the street to earn a buck or two more an hour. We're literally talking about a major change in income that's available to this huge amount of the population. Roughly 10% of the population of the United States it has the ability to massively increase their income level. So we're talking about a major change in income available to a huge amount of the American population, which is cool.
Yeah, folks without a college degree have found themselves in a really, you know, difficult job environment, generally speaking, this past year. Although, man, we want to point out our conversation with Ken Rusk back in episode 277 really shone a light on the ability for blue-collar workers to earn a great income. And that might mean changing the industry, you know, you work in or even learning a new skill. But then as we discussed with Rich earlier this week on Monday, don't hesitate to look for new opportunities even within your own company. During that conversation, he talked about keeping a record, keeping track of the different projects that you've been working on the amount of value that you've been able to bring your company. And so all these are different ways for you to negotiate for more money, right? To negotiate a higher salary. But at the same time, don't be afraid to look for new opportunities. Make sure that you've got that LinkedIn profile ready to go. Make sure you got your resume updated and looking fresh.
Yeah, and in particular, Matt, actually some of the terms that you use when you're describing yourself on a resume are really important. And I think a lot of people have trouble describing themselves and their skills on a resume. So it makes sense to get help with that. It's less like the formatting and it's more like, well, what do I actually need to include in here? Because if you sell yourself short and you don't actually pitch yourself in an effective manner, that can reduce your job prospects and potentially your income too. All right, let's get to one last story that we wanted to touch on this week. A couple of weeks ago, we talked with Travis Hornsby of Student Loan Planner, and we discussed a bunch of different things about student loans because they're in kind of a precarious position right now. Anybody with federal student loans, they're currently in forbearance, but they're not sure when those payments are going to restart again. And we still don't know for sure like when they're going to restart, but we at least know one thing based on this week. And that's that the start date for paying back your student loans, for your federal student loans, was bumped back 1 month from January 1st to February 1st. So that's nice. The earliest anybody out there with student loans is going to see payments resume.
Yeah, so that's great news for all the student loan borrowers out there who have had their student loans paused. You know, continue to prioritize, you know, other goals that you might have, like beefing up your savings, maybe paying down some other debts with higher rates of interest, you know, while your student loans aren't accruing interest. And we'll be sure to keep you up to speed with any other news that breaks about student loans. There's a lot in the air right now, Joel, with a transition of power. There's a lot of congressional talk as far as another stimulus bill. So there's a lot of different ways that this could end up going, and we'll make sure to let you, our listener, know.
No doubt. A lot of moving parts, Matt. Yeah. We got to keep our eyes on. But at least one small bit of good news this week for people who have student loans. But all right, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll have a lot of links from this week's episode in our show notes up for you on our website at howtomoney.com.
And everybody have a great weekend. And Joel, until next time,
best friends out.
Best friends out.